Before I forget, I just wanted to make a quick announcement that we're having a first quarter business meeting for all the officers. Want them to be there and at 10 o'clock this Saturday. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, the 14th chapter. I want to read verse 7. Zechariah 14:7. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at the evening time it shall be light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and ask God that you will take this word, Lord, inspire it, Lord, to your people. Lord, that it would accomplish that, Lord, that it is ordained to accomplish in this day. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. You may be seated. Sometime ago last year, I was feeling on my heart to bring some teaching and some things to especially for the young people and ones that perhaps had never had any teaching concerning what we believe, as far as that this is an end time message. What makes us different? What makes what we're believing? What makes it different than what anybody else believes? And I know that, you know, we quote from the prophet, we quote from Brother Branham a lot, and I believe we've got young people that say, well, yeah, they believe he's a prophet, but if you asked them, show me that in the scripture, well, they don't know where it's at. Now, I don't say this to down them, but I say it for this. There's a spirit out there today to challenge that to the young people. And if they haven't been taught, then that spirit will have a way to kind of move them. Now, we know the elect seed of God, they're not going to be lost. But I can tell you this, they can sure be hindered. They can sure become discouraged. They can sure drift away. That's right. They can get on the wrong path. They can be influenced. There's nothing the scripture says that they couldn't be influenced. They can be. Will they return? Yes, but at what cost? And I look at today that spirit being so deceptive. And I want to say this, not in any way of pinning anything on myself, but in a way of showing you something. I remember as a young boy, and I remember I remember specifically another, a friend of mine. He was, and we were both just young boys, you know, just playing normal boys stuff, you know. We would play baseball or we'd play, you know, whatever. And uh, we we were just kids. I got a video, or actually it was on 8mm that his dad had took pictures and film, I guess you'd call it, of me and him and different things when we were real young. And this brother then took it and he transferred it on a DVD and gave me a copy of it. And it was kind of nice to go back and reminisce that. But what I wanted to get at was this. I remember me and him, we were really close. And we were in the same church, set under the same teaching. And I can tell you this. At the ages of 8 and 9 years old, no one could have convinced either one of us that Brother Branham wasn't the prophet to the end time. Why? Because we'd been drilled with it? Because we'd been brainwashed? No. We had heard it taught by our pastor, and we saw it. You know, when I was 8 years old, I could explain to you why you should be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I could take you through the scriptures on it. Why? Because my pastor taught that. And my mom would thump me to keep me awake so I would hear it. Yeah. If I'd go to drift off sleep, you know, mom would. Because, you know, I thought at 8 years old, I thought I was big enough I didn't have to sit by her anymore. So she said, okay, fine, sit in front of me. And I tell you, don't ever fall for that. They can control you better, you sitting in front of them than sitting beside them. Because they always got one eye on you when you're sitting in front of them. But it was good. And I'm not saying this to say it maybe, but what I'm looking at in this day, I remember we had come through a time where those that had, and you got to realize this, and some of you, while you knew about the message even before me and my family did, but my mom and dad, they were baptized in 1968 down Branham Tabernacle, and I was there. I remember everything about the trip, and I remember standing there, and I was standing. Brother Neville was too sick to come out to service, and my dad had talked to him on the phone. He said he couldn't make it. And said, but Brother Collins is there, brother, he'll be more than glad to baptize you. And so Sister Collins, I stood with her, and they had a little baby at that time, and I stood by her and watched my mom and dad get baptized. That was in 1968. But we had already, was already following the message before that. Mom and Dad had not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were still under their baptism from the denomination that they were in. But we had, I know maybe 67, the beginning of it, end of 66, something like that, is when my dad was introduced to the message. And we were following, and you look at that, and some of you that knew before that, you can, of course, very easily understand what I'm saying about this. But here it was, I mean, you know, realize Brother Branham passed away December of 1965. So when I'm talking about what I remember and the things and the message, this is at the still early stages of what was going to take place after the passing of Brother Branham. And so there wasn't at that time, there was just beginning to be some message churches at that time that were not, that wasn't so in 1965. But from 1965, into the next, after Brother Branham passed, that's when, in 1966, it began to be message churches groups. And you say, well, what would have brought that on? God taking the prophet off the scene. So that the light would be, he introduced Jesus Christ. If Brother Branham would still be here, I guarantee you there wouldn't be as many churches founded here and there and throughout the place. Why? Because everybody would be too busy going wherever he was. So, and I know there was many, I've heard testimony of those that, like Brother Billy Paul and Brother Perry Green, different ones when Brother Branham was taken, what their testimony was, they thought for sure, no, God ain't going to take him. This is God's man. They sat around waiting for God to, well, God's going to raise him back up. And they were looking at all these things, you know, because all of a sudden he was gone. They had something in common with the disciples after Jesus was gone. Peter could relate to what they were feeling. Hallelujah. Hey, look what Peter did after Jesus. He believed in him, but somehow he wasn't living up to what Peter thought was going to be. But after the upper room, Peter was a different man. Peter went forth teaching the same Lord Jesus Christ. That was actually the start of the church of God, of the Jesus's church. I heard one brother, he's passed on now, Brother Green. Henry Green from North Carolina, he said Jesus started his church the way he wanted it. Now he wants it like he started it. And but there at that time, that beginning, Brother Branham had left the scene, and now here was those that were they were. Getting revelation was being given to them to realize God had sent a prophet. And they were beginning to recognize that ministry. And at the same time, many of those that were in the meetings that Brother Branham held, many of them stayed with their denominations, stayed with their associations. They would tell you, yep, he was a great man. That, Brother Ram was a prophet. He was a great man while he was calling out and healing the sick. But the people, and I thank God, now I'm going to say this, not that I'm in any way belittling anyone that was there and witnessed it. I thank God that we still have some that has witnessed it and can tell us about it. But this was a time of those who were going to believe without seeing it. This was a time of those who were going to receive it and believe that God sent a prophet, that Brother Branham was a prophet, without ever sitting in one of his services. When Peter was sent forth to the house of Cornelius, here was a Gentile people. Now, when they preached in Jerusalem, many of them in Jerusalem, they had saw Jesus. Some of them had even been in his meetings. But in John chapter 6, verse 66, many of them left. But they had been there and witnessed it. There was many of them living. But when he was sent to the Gentiles, they hadn't witnessed it firsthand. They hadn't been there. They hadn't felt that experience. They had to believe based on word. Right. Amen. Now, that wasn't the first time. When Isaiah prophesied and said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Well, that was word. There wasn't nothing manifested for years. But it was word that had to be believed. And when Joseph
came and found that Mary was with child, and he hadn't knew her as his wife yet, and he was minded to put her away privately, then the angel came and spoke to him, and Joseph had to believe what? The word. He had to believe the word of the prophet that the angel was speaking to him. Wasn't no great big something going on, great big experience he had. When the angel told Mary, that which you've conceived of the Holy Ghost, Mary had to take him at his word. Hallelujah. So it's not like that it's the first time God's done that. God has always had, when Noah preached, they had to take him at his word. And there was only eight. At the very beginning, God spoke to Adam and Eve. They had to take him at his word. They didn't look and say, well, now we got an example of what happens when you do eat of that tree. They didn't have. All they had was his word. So that's how God started out in the beginning. See, but when men get to a point where, well, I gotta see it before I believe it. Serpent. Because God has always expected his children just to believe it because it's his word. Now, how do you know, say, well, how do you know that was God's word? Because it brought this to life. What was said in here was manifested. I never sat in Brother Bram's meetings. I listened to tapes. I saw the movies, 20th Century Private, Deep Call to the Deep. I couldn't even count to you how many times I've saw those films. I've saw them countless of times. I saw a film here a few years back of Brother Jack Coe. You heard Brother Branham mention him. In the one film I saw, he was preaching in the same place that Brother Branham had preached Deep Call to the Deep. Everything was exactly the same. The windows, the building, the podium, the eagle on the front of it, everything exactly like it was in when they filmed Deep Call to the Deep. We've got, you know, we've been on Sunday, we've been preaching about a time we're living in where there's a shaking going on. And that shaking is to, God's allowing it. There was a shaking that took place in John chapter 6. And what was causing the shaking? The word of God. It shook those people. And everyone that wasn't elect was shook loose. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, will you be shook too? He says, I'll tell you what, this is sure some shaking, but I ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. And so there was a time during that time of the late 60s and so on, there was the message that was, what was being preached was to point a people who had never witnessed it with their eyes. People that were coming in because the call had went out, come out of her, my people. And that call was not the call of a man. It was the call of Almighty God. And so when God took his man, that didn't silence the voice. The voice just kept on going. Come out of her. And so there were people coming out. I remember there were people coming out of this denomination, another, and then the church where we were, there were people that came out of all kinds of different denominations. There was even a family who come out of the Amish. There was those then finally started coming out of the Catholic churches right there. Why? Because a voice. Say, was it the voice of the pastor? No. There was a voice of God that was ringing out. There was something, there was a deep in there that was calling. And there had to be something out there to respond. What it was, there was something in their calling that was thirsting for something that the organizations could not quench, that the denominations couldn't quench, that the Pope couldn't quench. What was it? That was that voice calling, and there was something responding. That's what the whole story about an eagle being born in a chicken yard was all about. Hallelujah. So there was a need. There was a need to teach the people. God had sent a prophet. Why was there a need for that? Because it wasn't just that you recognize the man, but you had to receive the message, because that's what God had sent, his word, his message. And you can't separate the messenger from the message. So the people couldn't receive him, they wouldn't be able to receive the message. And if they didn't receive his message, they could not receive him. Because the messenger and the message are one. Because it's not a man's message. Now, there's been many down through the ages. You can study them. I have. You can study them in history of different men that came. And with, they had their teachings. And they had things that they drew people with. Here in this country, one of the biggest ever was the Mormon church. It's the truth. They had a message, but it wasn't from God. You go back and study the history, it will shock you at the things they did. You know, unless you got to be on the inside of the inside with them to really know everything that goes on. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. They have some rituals that they do that not all the people who claim to be Mormons even know about. And the rituals that they perform, if they're not hand in hand with satanic rituals, I don't know what is. So, yes, there's been many down through the ages rise up. The Bible said they would. And it said they would say, "Lo, he is there." It said, "Don't go. Lo, he's over here." That's you can read that all through history. And it didn't stop when God sent the last prophet. Paul says, and this is the thing, see, the reason a lot of folks at that time couldn't accept Brother Branham as that messenger, because they didn't even believe some of the things Paul taught. It's the truth. There were certain things Paul said that they, that was different back at that time. Paul didn't really mean, I think this is the way Paul meant, like this. Oh, yeah. There was those that believed days of miracles are past. They're over. That was back in the days of the apostles. Why? Why did they believe that? Because they were living in a time where it was neither day nor night. They had just enough light to say, "I believe Jesus Christ. I believe him as a Savior. I believe he died for my sins. I believe we should be baptized," and they couldn't even agree on how to be baptized. a day that was neither day nor night. What was it? It is that time when you can't say it's dark, but you can't say it's light either. And that time of the day, friends, is a very deceiving time. Your depth perception, that's the worst time of being able to see. That was the time that they were in. But the Bible says there will be light in the evening time. There'll be light in the evening time. Paul, here is Paul, starting the first Gentile age, Paul being the messenger sent to it. Now we see in Peter had to actually be the first one to go to them. Why? Because Jesus said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. So Peter had to go unlock it to them. And then God sent them a messenger. One that he said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, he was so strict to the law. But when the Lord Jesus, he met him he had letters that he was taking to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus met him. What was Jesus when he met him? A pillar of fire, a light, a great light. That's how Jesus met him. He said, Lord, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now that wasn't the first time that God had ever come in the form of a light. He come in the form of a light to Moses. It was the same pillar of fire that came and said, take the shoes off your feet, the sandals, because the ground on which you stand is holy ground. Moses turned to see a bush that was on fire. On fire with what? A great light. And that light, the children of Israel followed that great light. The Bible says by day it was a cloud, and by night a pillar of fire. That was Jehovah God leading his people by what? Light. What was the first thing that God spoke? Let there be light. Hallelujah. So, for there to be light in the evening time, what was that light to be? Were we to be led by a pillar of fire? No, but God sent that pillar of fire, came down in that pillar of fire to show us it was the same I am that had met with Moses, the same I am that had met with Paul. Hallelujah. Oh, sure, there's those now fallen living messages and they're trying to discredit the whole thing of the pillar of fire and the light. Thing is, friends, you can't discredit something that's already been documented that there was a light that struck the lens of the camera. Nobody doctored that up. But again, it comes down to, do you believe? Brother Branham said in one message I was reading here today, he said, man comes and said, Brother Branham, I don't care what happens. I don't believe that. He said, well, of course you don't, brother. It's only to believers. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's going to be people who don't believe it. Because the only ones that are going to believe it's going to be believers. Hallelujah. There was a time that it was necessary for the teaching of God sent a prophet. We had Brother Perry Green to give us witness, Brother Eddie Biskell to give us witness. We had others that had been in Brother Bram's meetings. Maybe perhaps y'all, some, I know Brother Jim was in those meetings, but there might be some that you, other than that, that you know or have met. There are others that I know and have met that were in those meetings, and that's wonderful. I've enjoyed their testimony, and God, God had a purpose for them to serve. Say, what was it? Just to be a witness. Yep, I was there, and it happened, and I believe it. Huh? Yeah, it wasn't. Friends, it wasn't. Sure, you know, when we talk about it, we mention Brother Perry Green, we mention Brother Eddie Biskell. Why do we mention that? They're the two predominant ministers that God used after the prophet left to actually bring that testimony. Huh. Were there other ministers that had been in there? Yep. Some of them weren't worth a plug nickel. They wanted to take things after Brother Branham left. They saw opportunity. That's what they did. They saw opportunity. Maybe that's why they call that over yonder the land of opportunity. They saw opportunity to build a kingdom for themselves. That's right. There was many that did that. Yeah. I remember this one brother traveling around. He wasn't even a preacher. And he done more damage and wrecked more churches than about any man I ever knew that wasn't a preacher. Brother Phil knows him. He come by our place, stayed at our house, had this whole thing about not going to church, you know. We're at church right now, right here, fellowshipping in your living room, Brother Brownie. This is it right here. Yeah. How in the world somebody who, I mean, come on, listen. We know there's been a lot of false teachers and preachers out there, but this man wasn't none of that. He was just another lay member, period. How in the world? Why was it that there was preachers that followed this guy, let alone people? You will never know the answer to that. Other than the fact, if they followed him, it is because there wasn't nothing to hold them. It is impossible for the elect to be deceived. It is not possible. Probably some of y'all sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for me to name that fellow, wasn't you? Brother Jerry, he just calls out names. I can't remember his name. David something. Wasn't it? Yeah. When I met him, he drove a station wagon. Oh my. He went from place to place just visiting different churches. For what purpose? To get people to believe. They didn't have to go to church. You just meet in your homes. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a fivefold ministry. Whew. My goodness. I never once that I know of ever heard him proclaim what he was or proclaim really himself to be anything. But man, I tell you what, he must have been beguiling. There was a need to teach God sent a prophet. Then as the church began to progress, time began to move on. There were many people that were caught up in thinking that 1977 is when the rapture was going to take place. Yeah, I mean, that was something that was 1977. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. There was things that happened in 1977. But it wasn't the coming of the Lord. I remember being at a camp meeting up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it was 1983, I believe. And there was a man preaching. And he done some kind of figuring or other to where, you know, yeah, he said 77, but if you've, I don't know, done some kind of calendars and arithmetic and whatever else, you know, then it actually ended up being actually 83. And the reason he knew that to be that is because we were under the president, Ronald Wilson Reagan, and all three of his names only had six letters in it. So it was 666. Had no meaning whatsoever. Well, why was all that? Why was all that? You know, they've said, now if I can get this right, talking about Martin Luther, said something, the saying, maybe some of y'all remember, it had something to do with, you know, his greatest accomplishment was being able to keep his head above all the fanaticism that followed his message. Because there's many that will latch on to something, you know, and it's so that they can, from that, make their own thing. There is... Remember one time Brother Donnie preached a message on the gospel net from the scriptures, you know. How he brought in the net, there was turtles in it, there was snakes in it, there were, you know, all these different animals in it and so on, but there was fish. And said, Brother Branham bringing it out, said, what do you do about the snake? I said, don't worry, he said, he'll slither his way right back off into the water. He's not a leg. You know, he said, the turtle, and Brother Donnie, if any of y'all have ever heard him preach on that years ago, gave a really... dramatic representation of these animals that were brought in by the net. But one of the things that I remember Brother Donnie saying, there's so many different people, other words, that are caught in that net and brought in. And he says, and according to how, you know, God has his different ministers, and according to the way God has gifted them, what their ministry is, he says, their ministry is God sends them for a purpose. He sends them to an area. He says, but there will be something particular about their ministry that will actually also attract a certain kind of people that aren't elect. And Brother Donnie said, seems like I attract all of the rebels. Everyone that's against the government gets attracted to me, he said. Radicals. I'm not even going to go in what I feel like gets attracted to me. But you can't go out and say, now all you elect fish, jump on over in here. No, you got to keep casting out the net. Now we moved through a time then in the 80s, and why I was bringing out about these different things that was coming out is because these people were all also preaching. Yeah, Brother Branham's a prophet. God sent a prophet. But the other things they were bringing were not things that actually Brother Branham had said. They were things, they took different things he said, and then they turned them and twisted them and placed them to where then it made them look big, and for the people, look what I know. So it come to a time that it had to move from just God sent a prophet, that there had to become a revelation of the message that the prophet had brought. Because that message then, it would separate out all this false. All the, you know, not all came out of Egypt, were Israel. It was a vast, great multitude. So we had come through an exodus time of coming out of organizations, coming out of denominations, coming out of the Catholic Church and so on. But not all that came out were children of God. They came out and were attracted for one reason or another. But then when it come down to actually teaching the message of what the prophet brought, they didn't want nothing to do with that. Then it began, this man I said that was going around, you know, he started this whole thing, well, you got to know the difference between when Brother Aaron's talking to the bride and when he's talking to the church. So now you got people out there with not an ounce of a gift of ministry in their life discerning when he was talking about the church and when he was talking about the bride. Well, my goodness, if that's the way we're going to play it, we could just say, well, this over here, I want to do this, and this don't agree with it, so I'm going to say he didn't mean that for me. Right. Yeah. And they began to do what Paul said. They begin to make their own righteousness. But there was a need for it to go past just God sent a prophet. And so God began opening up that word of why the prophet was sent and what actually was said. There are people today who still don't believe the seventh seal was open. But in the 70s, there wasn't anybody that I ever knew of that believed it was open. There were sincere elect people that would listen to that tape over and over and read the book over and over saying, I know I've got to get it this time. And were just as stumped as they were before they pushed play. But then God began to move through the ministry there in the early 80s. And it began to bring out and realize the seventh seal wasn't a thing. It was a person. In the 70s, they talked about perhaps the third pool is this, perhaps it's that, perhaps it's this. But then in the 80s, things that was right there that could have been heard and read the whole time. But God then opened the light to his people, shined the light on it. He said, the third pool, the seven seals, the opening of them seals is the third pool. He said, the third pool is Christ. Say, was there any people after that still wondering? Yeah, sure there was. I met a brother in somewhere there in the 90s. And he was preaching about the third pool. He's like, I'm waiting for God when you can walk up somebody and restore their limb. Or just speak the word and they'll have their cupboards full of groceries.
I said, brother, we're in the third pool right now. What?
Why do I want to go back? Why do I want to go backwards? There was people that got limbs spoken to existence back there. There was people that got groceries spoken to existence, got healing spoken to existence. How many of them stayed with the message? I don't want to go backwards. Those things are great. But friends, that wasn't the message. That was the word. What was being done was what was promised in the word. Daddy Humes, brother, you know Tim Humes, that was his daddy. He was asked, he had been in the different men's meetings and things, you know, A.A. Allen and Baxter and different ones, you know, and that. And he had saw so much of these different. This one had this, and this one had that. This one had something run out of their hands, and this one had that. And they asked him, said, what made you know that Brother Branham wasn't just another one of them, that he was actually the end time prophet? He said, because he never missed. That's what he said. He said he'd been in services where they'd say, somebody out there, right now, God wants to heal you. You got back trouble. Man, if we said that in this little bitty church, half, more than half of us would stand up. That's right. And there were those that believed this message, that they kept looking for those things. And first they'd find some preacher that thought that he had some kind of gift of discernment or calling people out. Man, they had get him over here. We want him preaching right now. Now, I can't tell you about every one of them. I've heard about many, but I can tell you about one of them. He went in calling people out. Steve Shelley was his name. Went in calling people out up there in Ann Arbor. Brother Johnson had him come to that camp meeting. Then that got him popular, so he started going traveling around. He'd go into people's churches, call them out. He called out Sister LaFontaine, Sister Loretta LaFontaine up there in Michigan, and said, Sister! And he called out and said what she had. I can't remember what it was now. But he called out and said what she had. And she stood up and she said, Brother, I don't have that. He said, yes, you do. He said, the Lord told me, he said, Brother, I don't have that. He said, yeah, you do. You just don't know you do. Find that ever happening on any of the tapes, in any of Brother Branham's ministry, his discernment. Find that where Brother Branham ever said, you got it, you just don't know you got it. Well, what kind of proof would that be? That there was a PR thing. That was a whoop slip. I got to say something to kind of smooth that over so I can go on. Man was a homosexual. So much for the calling people out in the signs. He was a sign, all right, as it was in the days of Lot. He was part of that sign. What? Homosexuals. That's right. And you know, you say, well, why did all these things happen around the message? Why did things happen around Jesus' ministry and message? Was to thin out the crowd. Get down to them that really believed. Friends, look, when Jesus turned to Peter after there in John chapter 6, when it said many of them left, he turns to Peter and turns to the other 12 and he says, will you go also? they could ask Peter, Peter, heard what you said. Heard you say we wasn't leaving. What was it? What did he mean? Peter said, I don't have the slightest inkling of what he meant, but I know who he is. But even that stir didn't get rid of Judas. Say, why is things still going on like that, Brother Jerry? Ain't we got them thinned out? There must be a Judas somewhere. Hallelujah. Judas didn't become absent until time to go into the upper room. Judas didn't become absent until the Last Supper. And the Last Supper wasn't even ended yet. And Jesus looked at him and said, go on, buddy. Go do whatever you got to do. What thou doest, do us quickly. Judas said, whoo, I got his approval. Boy, wait till you get a load of this, boy. Whew. Judas was a preacher. Judas was anointed. Judas went out with the others preaching, casting out devils, and healing the sick. Here's the thing. Jesus said, he's a son of perdition. Identifying that he didn't come from God. He said he come from perdition. He returns to perdition. Now, what does that show you? It shows you why was it that Judas couldn't hang around and go on up there and get the Holy Ghost? It wasn't to him. If Judas would have not hung himself and went up there and stayed in the upper room, I'm going to tell you something. The presence wouldn't have fell until they got him out. You say, how can you say that? Because Jesus couldn't even share all that he was going to until he told Judas, what thou doest, do us quickly. And Judas left. Then Jesus turned to the others and began to unveil what was going to happen. But even as he spoke it, they didn't understand it, and they were elect. So there was elect in Brother Branham's meetings, and they heard it firsthand. Walked out. They didn't catch it all. Why? Brother, it wasn't for that time yet. Why? Brother Branham couldn't give revelation. No man could. The time for that was when he said, as John the Baptist, he said, the voice was, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming. And Brother Branham said, then when Jesus came, then he increased, John had to decrease. Brother Branham said, if I'm the one to introduce him, that means if he comes, I must decrease. And he did. So we came through a time when the ministry and that began to realize we've got to begin to teach the people further beyond God sent a prophet. Because there was many that were teaching God sent a prophet, but along with that, they were sliding in some of their own teachings from whatever they came out of. There was those sliding in their teaching that, I know that the speaking in tongues isn't initial evidence, but I'll tell you what, brother, when I bought my shoes, the tongue come with it, hallelujah. I'm not making fun of that. I'm telling you what happened. Yes, I believe Brother Branham, but they would teach things Friends, I heard it not too many years ago. Somewhere close around here. Heard somebody come in from up north, come to some church and begin to preach to young people. And what were they preaching to them? They were preaching a Pentecostal way of receiving the Holy Ghost. Look, maybe you got chills when you received it. Maybe you felt water running down over you. But that wasn't a sign. That was not the sign. Come on now. And they'll say, there was people that would say that. They wouldn't say anything about speaking in tongues, you know, because Brother Brandon brought that out and said, it's not the evidence. But he never said, feeling warm water run down over your back. And he never really spoke all them things out. They said, brother, when I got it, I felt it's like warm water just washing down over. I'm not making fun of them. But what I'm saying is this, warm, feeling water washing over somebody could happen to devils. If Brother Branham could stand there and say, I've heard witch doctors in Africa speak in tongues and drink blood out of a skull. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there was a time for that. And then, friends, listen. I look at my generation. I look at you that are sitting here tonight that are in the same generation that I was in. We heard all the teachings. God sent a prophet. We heard the teachings of the opening of the word. But now there's another generation. There's a new generation. And they didn't. They weren't there. Because they're a generation that's come from this generation. Now what was it? What was it that God told his people, said, teach them from generation to generation. Keep passing it down. Friends, that's what we're doing here tonight. Yes, we've got to preach and teach more than God sent a prophet. But friends, we've got people that, and young people and children that need to know God sent a prophet and see it in the scripture. If you don't get that taught to them, then you're in the same, you're like in the vision Brother Branham had when he was trying to take this rope and put it through an eyelet of a baby shoe. And the angel spoke to him and said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. They need to be able to see it in the scriptures. Listen, Brother Branham says every generation, when they hit in the teenage, he said, Satan has got a shot coming at each one of them. Now, I know you say, well, you said you know this and the other. Yeah, he had a shot coming at me too, and it didn't come that way. No, I didn't come that way. You know, you say, did anybody ever try to convince you otherwise? Sure. They didn't last longer than nothing. Why? That wasn't a weakness. But Satan will keep looking until he finds it. And I'll tell you one of the things. I'll tell you one of the things that I know he did in my generation. He didn't try to convince us that God didn't send a prophet. He didn't try to convince us that the message wasn't true. What he tried to convince us was that we weren't elect. We weren't part of it. You could go to anyone that ever backslid during that generation and fell away or whatever and ask them, do you believe the message be true? Yes. Do you believe Brother Branham was a prophet? Most definitely. Do you believe you could just go out here in one of these denominations? No, sir. Why are you living like this then?
I guess it just ain't for me. Huh? Yeah.
I sat in church, and while the preacher was preaching, did I ever get in the Spirit? Did I feel the move of the Spirit? I most definitely did. I shouted, ran the aisles, and everything else. In the Spirit, not in a demon spirit, in the Holy Spirit. I saw miracles happen. I saw people healed, miracles performed right in front of me. I saw it. But I had a devil sit there and say, you know, the preacher just said that about them. I don't believe that's you. You know, the preacher said that about Judas. He stayed right there to the very end. That's you. Well, I go to church. So did Cain. Huh? Oh, Esau. Yeah. I'll tell you what's worse than that. Worse than a teenager having the devil talk to him that way and getting all twisted and turned up about it. Have somebody in their 40s sitting there getting, and it's been around this message, been in this message, and them saying, at last, every time I hear you preach, I'm either Judas or Esau or Cain. Well, there was other people coming to me saying they was Abel or Jacob or Jesus. Depends on what you're identifying with. Don't let Satan tell you that stuff. Like I've told people, look, he don't even know who belongs to him. How in the world can he tell you? Yes, sir. He's like one of the, look, it's the spirit of the anointing that he's got on the people out here. That's why you've got so many of these daddies. They got kids scattered around everywhere. They don't know what kid's theirs and what kid's not. And there's kids out here, they wouldn't know their daddy if they ran in face to face into him. Why? Yes, sir. Hey, I ain't belittling or downing people, because I know a good brother that it would tell you he never knew his daddy. And there was people that preached him to a point where he thought he was lost. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just telling you about an anointing that's out here on this day. And what I'm pointing you at is, don't listen to the devil when he tells you you're not one of them, you don't belong to him. I don't care how much detail he has. I don't care how much that he says he's got his proof, or how many of your faults and mistakes he points at. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. That's why the prophet said he is nothing but a bluff. He'll bluff you into thinking you're not, that you belong to him. He don't know. That's scriptural. He doesn't know. So what does he do? Well, he ain't down here at the, I don't even know the names anymore around here. He ain't down here at the local tavern trying to convince somebody in there right now that they're not one of God's. He don't got to worry about them right now. You say, you mean there wouldn't be none of God's in there? Yeah, if there is, they will come. That voice, it ain't held up by any walls are held back by any liquor. You can't get away from it. But Satan's not down there trying to, I know that you committed adultery last night, and I know you're almost stone drunk right now, but I just wanted to remind you, you're lost. He ain't wasting his time. So what is he doing? He watches and sees, where is God moving? That's where I'm going to hit. That's what he's always done. Why didn't Satan show up down in the bottom of the ocean and start trying to convince the marine life? Because that wasn't where God was moving. Satan, were they were brought into creation by the spoken word of God. Yes, they were. But the last thing was man. God's children. Satan didn't waste no time down there trying to convince Mr. Whale. Hey, listen here. I'm your creator. Satan didn't waste no time with them. He went to where God was currently moving. The word had already been spoke. It was finished there. The word that was still associated with that after God had moved on was he give man dominion over them. Hallelujah. Well, let's close. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I've heard if priest God sent a prophet and took your scriptures, but I've never seen it going about this way. Well, it's because we're not standing back in the late 60s, early 70s. We're in 2015. There is a lot that has transpired since then. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I read here in the message tonight, Brother Branham was talking about the things being the end time and all that, you know, and he said, you know, and listen to this statement. He says, you know, all it would take tonight is somebody to drink just a little bit too much vodka and this country could be blown away. Do you know why he said that? Because that's the drink of Russia. I think it was it Sunday I was going through it and saying, you know, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago. Russia's getting strong again, friends. Russia's starting to flex its muscles. You say, what's giving it all that? It was ordained of God. Yeah. Brother Branham said, don't fear that. Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to America. He was talking to the bride. Said, don't fear that. He said, God is raising them up to judge that great whore. I was reading in the news, there's some kind of, I'll just kind of tell you a little bit about it, but there's some kind of thing when it has to do with lesbianism and women's feminism and that, and it's over in Russia. And we've got these three individuals, and they were going around and they were getting riots started in different places and all, and that, now they got them, they've imprisoned them now over there in Russia. And what it has caused around the globe rioting to go on to get these three women freed. Well, I can tell you what, they can riot down in San Francisco or riot over here somewhere else or up here in the England States, and they'll finally get the states to approve same-sex marriages. But they can riot all they want, it ain't going to move Russia. Do you think Russia's going to be brought down by a bunch of gays and lesbians? No, sir. They are not. You mentioned politically correct to a Russian. What? What? Politically correct's whatever we decide to do. Politically correct's not talking against the government in Russia. Yeah.
I tell you what, when I was in grade school, I never thought that when I was in my 50s, I'd be sitting and admiring the leader of Russia. But I do. You say, why? I said, they don't believe in God. What about these people over here that believe in God and are casting their tents towards Sodom? I admire him as a man. Do I want to go live in Russia? No, not necessarily. But if it gets too gay around here, I just might. I don't fear them. I watch what's happening. I watch what's happening in the Middle East. I'll tell you what, talking about being politically correct or not politically correct, who could flub up an attendance at a new king being set in more than our president and his wife? I'm talking about Saudi Arabia, if y'all hadn't read the news. Amen. Let's stand. Say, why are you mentioning this? I don't mention it for any political reasons, friends. I mention it pointing at where we're at in the timetables here. You see these things going on. You know, there was things that we heard preached back in the 70s, pointed out things that Brother Branham had prophesied. And we looked for them to take place here in this country. But they couldn't back then because the men or women that could set the stage for it weren't in those positions of power yet. We gotta have some men or women, whatever, that are in the leadership of this country to get this country in the place that it's ordained to be at the coming of the Lord. That's right. The cup of iniquity has to be full. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thankful to be here tonight. Thankful for your word. Ask you to bless your people now, dear Lord. And those, Lord, that had to travel home some distance, I pray you'll bless them, watch over them, keep them safe. Bless them, Lord, the different ones as they go to work in the morning. Keep them, Lord, Father. Some may be having to work the weekend, Lord. I pray you'll bless them, dear God. Keep them safe, Lord. Bring them back, Lord, to the house of God again. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen us over these next few days. We're looking forward, dear Lord, to your coming. But if you don't come before Sunday, we're looking forward to your coming with the word. We thank you, Lord, and give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's sing, Can't You See Why I'm Happy? You're dismissed. Amen.